Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of the Gospel CMS Podcast. The hope and purpose of this ministry is to give you practical, relevant ideas on how to experience God in a deep way while equipping you with tools to live out your holy calling on a daily basis. Recently, I was having a conversation with a friend about his role as a financial advisor. He was experiencing what we all do from time to time, frustration. He was feeling the normal anxieties associated with responsibility, pressure to meet a goal, the pain of rejection, the questioning of his processes. Hopefully, the wisdom I shared with him helped reset him with renewed passion and vigor. I'll come back to his story later, but first, let's talk about what it means to be called. I'm drawing on Romans 8, 1 through 17 for this episode. I could go on for days, weeks, and even years just talking about this one section of the Bible, but I really want to share just a few highlights I believe breathe life into us when we're questioning why we're doing what we do. Let's dive in. Paul may have written this letter to the Romans back in biblical times, but one of the most amazing things God does is transcend time. In other words, what was written over 2,000 years ago is just as relevant today as it was then. The words he wrote then have the ability to come right off the page and light a fire in our hearts if we allow ourselves to really see them and hear them. The theme of this passage is as much liberating as it is empowering. It's a continuation of the previous chapter, but that's not the focus for us. Let's hear the passage now. So now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent His own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son Jesus as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. And Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if, through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. So much is packed into those words. First, for those of us who have a true relationship with Jesus Christ, there's no reason to get down on our broken nature. We don't have to feel guilt or shame. We don't have to beat ourselves up anymore. We've been liberated from all that. Now, does that mean that we don't ever have to feel bad about our past or seek forgiveness from those we've injured or pay any penalties for our bad behavior? Not at all. Every sin has a cost, and at least one someone has to pay. Certainly, the victim paid a price, whoever that was. But beyond that, at least one other person has to pay the price for the crime. But those words offer hope, power, and joy, because God himself paid the price for us so we could focus on being who and what he has called us to be. With this freedom from condemnation, we are welcome, better yet, free, to live out our purpose as God has and is shaping us to live it out. And I'm getting excited just talking about that. Now we come to a warning about which life we want to give ourselves over to and what we can expect from each one. The first is a sinful nature, which simply means we're living for ourselves and our own pleasures rather than trying to make the world a better place. The things that drive us are things like what's in it for me, pleasure at the expense of others, a win at all costs attitude, and if it's not handled correctly, being focused on results and competitive behaviors. Now please don't get me wrong. Results in competition have a place, but they're not what we strive for, and they don't bring lasting peace and joy. Paul wraps up this section in verse 17 by reminding us that walking in God's purpose for us allows his Holy Spirit to flow through us. We are unstoppable when we're walking in that purpose. It's invigorating. It's electric. Sometimes it's all-consuming. But notice he points out that when we walk in our purpose, we also have to share in Christ's sufferings. In other words, walking in our calling is not always fun. It's not always getting what we personally envision. And sometimes it's truly feeling the pain of our sacrifice, our own crucifixion, if you will, whether that's mental, emotional, physical, financial, or even spiritual, before we experience the joy of working out our calling. Years ago, when I was just returning home from the military and struggling with my purpose and mission in life, I thought God was leading me to be a full-time preacher of a church. I felt it so strongly, I couldn't wait to seek the counsel of my grandfather, Papa B. Papa B had been a Baptist preacher my entire life and even longer, so I couldn't wait to ask him about my calling. When I shared my experiences and asked what he thought, he basically said I should avoid becoming a full-time preacher until I had tested every other available option. Rather than embrace his counsel, I selfishly leaned into my sinful self and led a very contradictory life for a long time. I spent a lot of years trying to fit myself into some box that I created to believe God was calling me to be a full-time preacher. Looking back on those years, I am reminded of some very bad choices I made, many of which I sometimes need to go back to this passage to help restore my faith and relationship with God and understand that I don't live under condemnation any longer. Years later, I came to understand what people mean when they say, "You were called for such a time as this." I was about to step into a management role at work, and I distinctly remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me and saying, "I never told you I wanted you to pastor a church full time. I put you where I want you to pastor. Pastor those I put in your path." I did that for over 4 years, and I even do that now, even when I'm no longer in management. I've had so many opportunities to share my testimonies and offer encouragement and support to others over the years, and I've been able to offer a safe space for people who needed to unload their burdens and pain. For so many years, I thought a calling was something set aside for full-time church workers. I saw it as being something you needed special training or education to do. But God showed me that a calling is about design, purpose, legacy. It's not a title or a position. It's something innate, and it's so deeply ingrained in us, we can't get away from what could be even sometimes considered an obligation. And now we come back to my friend's story. He was feeling the burden of expectation that day. He was wrestling with staying true to his processes or getting stuck in the quagmire of meeting results. I shared with him the principle that God doesn't call the equipped, He equips the called. And as I shared earlier, a calling is serious business. Because of that, it's not always fun. Sometimes it's really work. Sometimes it's frustrating. And other times, it's hard to see that our devotion to the process of working in our calling is really going to produce a harvest. If we listen really close to that last verse, Paul told us that sometimes we will have to suffer like Christ suffered. But God asks us to work the ground and plant the seeds. Sometimes He wants us to water it, but He never makes us responsible for the growth. That's His job. He simply says if we are faithful and obedient to the call, He will bring the harvest. So how does this calling look in everyday life? It really depends. The answer depends on what you hear God saying when you seek His will for your life. Spend some time asking God about your calling and speaking frankly to Him about what's on your mind, what's in your heart. And then spend some time being quiet and letting Him speak back to you. When you're feeling overwhelmed or stressed, take a deep breath and let the Holy Spirit comfort you with His presence. And after you've done those things, seek out other Christian brothers and sisters whom you can come alongside and ask them to pray for you and encourage you. In those moments, you will be affirmed. You're walking in your calling, and you will feel the holy freedom God shared through Paul in our passage today. I hope this message has been encouraging to you. I hope you sense God's calling on your life and you're being faithful to it too. If you've heard this message and put it into practice, I'd love to hear how it's working for you. If you're hearing this and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I pray you will consider how much more fulfilling your life could be when you are in a relationship with Him. More than anything, I hope you'll take a few minutes to share how this has impacted you. And if you need someone to talk with, let me know. We'll find some time to talk and see how you too can experience the freedom and the joy and peace that surpass all understanding that only God can offer.